people have prayed for some pretty crazy things in Jesus' name. Maybe a date with a particular girl, or get a better grade at school, or maybe to win the election for student body president. Many people have used Jesus' name to get a better parking spot at Walmart. Now, I haven't done that but twice. Pay raise. Even some people have asked for me to pray for them to win the lottery ticket, and I'm not going to do that because I'm not too fond of the lottery. But anyway, I did say if they win it, give me 10%. But, you know, a lot of people have prayed some crazy things in Jesus' name. It's kind of like they've used it for magic words to coerce God into giving them something they wanted, having nothing to do with what God wants, but what they wanted. And so, you know, you've got to be careful about this. I have seen some pastors on TV use this and say, you know, that even in a way that they presented it, that non-Christians could pray in Jesus' name and get all this stuff. And I think that's pushing it a little far. So I know I've had some people come up to me and say, you know, if you'll say, I had one lady tell me if I would say in Jesus' name six times, I would be healed. And I know she meant well. But, you know, I think we pushed this a little bit too far. Now, I think God will do great things, and Jesus will, but you've got to be careful to remember how this is. It's something you've got to look at and remember that it's just more than saying in Jesus' name. It's got to be more along the lines of what our lives are and what He wants in our lives. Now, they do. These words that Matt read you, it is a remarkable promise. It tells us that whatsoever we ask, and anything at all, if you ask it in the name of Jesus, He will do it for us. Now, it's harder to find a promise that's broader than that. Whatever you ask in My name, I will do it. And here is the problem with this. The problem is not the promise. I believe the promise. I believe Jesus will do that. It's the condition of the promise that we often forget about. We think about the promise, but there are some conditions of this promise. What does it mean to pray in Jesus' name? I will tell you right now that it means a whole lot more than we assume. Now, in our tradition, in praying in Jesus' name refers to a certain formula, sometimes at the end of our prayers. And in fact, if we hear somebody pray and they don't end it in Jesus' name, amen, a lot of us feel uncomfortable. And sometimes we feel almost like they were ashamed to mention it, or they had done something illegal because it didn't end the way we should thought it should have ended. One part of that insight is absolutely correct. True Christian praying is always in Jesus' name. So that I agree with 1,000%. If we deliberately drop the name of Jesus, then our prayers cannot be called Christian at all. So there is a sense in which every prayer we pray should always be offered in the name of Jesus. I believe that. But that still doesn't tell us what it means to preach in, or rather to pray in Jesus' name. The best way to look at this is first to see what it isn't, what it doesn't mean to pray in Jesus' name. Praying in Jesus' name is far more than putting a phrase at the end of a prayer. In fact, I went through, and I think this is right, I may be a little wrong on it, but I looked yesterday, I found 9 prayers in the New Testament, and not a single one of them ended in Jesus' name, amen. So surely these prayers, you might think, well, they weren't good prayers, but they were certainly offered in the context of the Christians and of Jesus and of the promise, because they were offered in a Christian context. And it tells us that the promise deals far more than with just saying a few words and amen. Now, for many of us, praying in Jesus' name, amen, means it's time to eat, or it's time to go, Or a lot of us think that if we pray in Jesus' name, it's like saying abacadabra, that we're going to have the equivalent of rubbing Aladdin's lamp. But it's easy to see the fallacy of that thinking. Let me tell you what that could lead you to believe. Suppose I prayed this prayer. Heavenly Father, I ask you to give me $10 million in small unmarked bills and medium-sized suitcases, and I'd like that money at my front door when I get home today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I could pray that way and maybe even be sincere, but we all understand that if you pray that kind of prayer, it's a misuse of prayer and a misuse of the name of Jesus. And that's why I want us to be very careful about praying in Jesus' name and what it truly does mean. This means that, you know, all you're doing is asking Jesus to be like Santa Claus. Now, one thing we forget, the importance of names in the Bible. It was different in Bible times than it is today. Names had a special meaning. Now, today, names usually don't have an intrinsic meaning, but they did in Bible times. Somebody might be called Joe or Jack or Mike or Dave or Brian or Bob or Bill, but these words don't necessarily convey a particular message about who you are. It was different in Bible times. Names in the Bible represent character, personality, origin, or destiny of different people. For example, the word Jacob means cheater. Nabal means fool. Peter means rock. What about the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Lord means master. Jesus means Savior. Christ means the anointed one sent from God. So when you call out the Lord Jesus Christ, you are declaring that he is your master, your Savior, and your anointed one sent from God. Secondly, names represent authority. Maybe you remember the old crime shows that used to be on television, and the police would come to the door and they'd bang on the door and they'd say, "Open up in the name of the law." Now, what were they saying? They were saying that we as officers have no authority to compel you to open the door, but when they knock in the name of the law, they have the full authority of the government of the United States standing behind them and backing them up. We can look at the story of David and Goliath and see further what this means. Just before the battle begins, David boldly tells Goliath where his power is coming from. He says, "You come against me, Goliath, with sword and spear and javelin, but my power is coming in the name of the Lord Almighty, the God of the armies of Israel." That's in 1 Samuel 17, verse 45. What he was saying was, "Goliath, I'm not impressed by your weapons. I'm not impressed with your great size. The Lord is on my side, and I'm about to lay your body down on the ground. Your size doesn't scare me because I'm here in the power and with the authority of the Lord." And that is exactly what happened. You know the story there. And third, names represent, in the Bible's day, a person's reputation, and maybe even today. We see this in reference to the name of the Lord. Look at the first petition of the Lord's Prayer that we preached on. "Hallowed be thy name." That means when you hallow something, it has great worth. It means that you have a great respect for that name. So remember this, when you pray in Jesus' name, it's not that you're just using some magical formula, but you're praying on the basis of who he is. You're praying with his authority, and you're praying in order to enhance or build up his reputation throughout the world. So what does it mean to pray in the name of Jesus? I want to give you six short answers here very quickly. When you pray in Jesus' name, the first thing you're doing, you're confessing your faith that Jesus Christ is the only way to God. Hebrews 10, verses 19 and 20 tells us that we now have confidence, Greek means boldness or freedom, to come into the very presence of God by virtue of the blood of Jesus. By Jesus offering his own body, he made a way past that veil so that we too could enter into the Holy of Holies, the most holy place where people at first did not have access to. Only the high priest had that, and that was once a year on the Day of Atonement. This constantly reminded God, people, that they could not approach God but through a priestly mediator. But now, my friends, as I have told you the past several weeks, I can go into the Holy of Holies because Jesus has broken that veil to allow us in. We can come into the presence of God. And because we are united with Him by faith, wherever He goes, we go with Him. It is precisely in this sense that every Christian prayer is offered in Jesus' name, for it is only by virtue of what He has accomplished that we may come into the presence of God. You cannot come into the presence of God without coming there through what Jesus Christ has done so that we can go there. To approach God apart from Jesus Christ is to guarantee that we're going to be turned away. You might pray in the name of Hare Krishna, or Buddha, or Confucius, Muhammad, Mary Baker Eddy, Joseph Smith, either any of these leaders you might choose, but it will do you no good. It will not get you into the presence of God. The only one who can get you into the presence of God is the Lord Jesus Christ. There is one mediator between God and man, and that man is who? Jesus Christ. 1 Timothy 2:5. If you do not come to God through Him, you cannot come at all. So with that truth in mind, it might be better even to start our prayers by referring to Jesus' name. Something like this is not a formula. There's all kinds of ways you can do it. But maybe say something like, Heavenly Father, I come to pray to You in the name of Jesus Christ, Your Son, and my Savior. I claim no merit of my own, and I acknowledge that I cannot stand in Your presence apart from the merits of my Redeemer who shed His blood for me. I claim nothing but the blood of Jesus as the ground of this prayer for praying to You. So that way you are establishing the fact, God, I come to You by virtue of what Christ has done for me to be able to come there. When you pray in Jesus' name, secondly, you are acknowledging that His name is the supreme name in all the universe. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Therefore, God exalted Him to the highest place and gave Him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee shall bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. How important is the name of Jesus? By virtue of His victorious resurrection and ascension into heaven, God has exalted Him where? To the highest place in the universe. He has the greatest name in all the universe. There is no one that you can compare to Him. He is number one, and I'm going to tell you, friends, there is no number two. He is number one. He stands alone. He's in a category by Himself. His name is the greatest name of all. And when you pray in Jesus' name, thirdly, you are admitting that there is no power to answer your prayers in any other name, including your own. After all, if we could answer our own prayers, why would we pray at all? The whole point of praying is to say, we are totally dependent on God, and we come in Jesus' name because salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given by men to which we must be saved. Acts 4:12. Let me give you a little experiment to kind of make this clear. Sometime this week, why don't you offer a prayer during your prayer time and offer all your requests to God in your own name. In other words, pour out your heart for yourself, your loved ones, your church, your friends, the missionaries, for the hurting people of the world. Then end it this way. Father, today I offer this prayer in my own name. I do this because my name is a great name, and I have the power and authority to do the things I ask. Amen. Try praying that this week and see what happens. If you are a Christian, you're going to hear a thumping sound because that will be your prayers bouncing off the ceiling and back into your head. True Christians pray in Jesus' name because there is no other power, no other power, no other name to answer our prayers but Him and His power. Then when you pray in Jesus' name, the fourth thing, you are submitting your will to His will because He knows what's best. Just a few hours after He gave this promise that Matt read to you a while ago, Jesus was agonizing over prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane. He prayed three times for that cup to be passed from Him, the cup of suffering to be removed. Three times God said, no. Each time the Lord Jesus submitted by saying, not my will, but yours be done. Now, if the Lord Jesus Christ had to pray that way, not my will, but yours be done, how much more do we need to pray like that? You know what? Sometimes our prayers, and I've said this before, are like children rushing in to see their daddy and say, Daddy, gimme, 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 gimme. And we wonder why our prayers have so little effect. To pray in Jesus' name means that you take your will, I take my will, and we submit it to the will of Christ as Christ submitted to the will of His Heavenly Father. After pouring our hearts out to God, we should say, Lord Jesus, I want what You want. How many of us pray that way? We normally pray, Lord, I want what I want. Or we want what we want. But how many of us pray, Dear Lord, I want what You want for my life. Now that is true praying. That is that praying that transforms you, that changes you. When you pray that way, then you ask whatever you want and you are submissive to God's will, we may be sure that He's listening, and our prayers will be answered in His way for His glory and for our best. On the other hand, if you're saying, Lord Jesus, this is what I want, and I don't care what You want, don't take time to pray. With that kind of attitude, your prayers are going to thump off a ceiling once again. Fifthly, when you pray in Jesus' name, you're asking for God's reputation to be enhanced by the answer to your prayer. John 14:13 says this clearly, and I will do whatever you ask in my name so that the Son may bring glory to the Father. The purpose of you and I praying in Jesus' name is to bring glory to the Father. Why do you think Jesus came to earth? The same night Jesus, knowing that His death was 24 hours or less away, prayed this way, Father, the time has come. Glorify Your Son, that Your Son may glorify You. John 17:1. Jesus came to glorify God through an obedient life, a sacrificial death, and a victorious resurrection. Now, to glorify God means many things. But certainly among the first is to enhance His reputation, that the world may know the reputation of the God and the only true God that we serve. When I request glorify God, then you can be sure they're going to be answered. To say this is to say that we should seek first the kingdom of God, knowing that when we do this, all these things shall be added to us. When God is first in your prayers, when we truly want to glorify Him, we can rest at ease knowing that the details of life that often consume us and keep us worried will be taken care of by our Heavenly Father. And then sixthly, when you pray in Jesus' name, you are asking that everything you ask for be consistent with God's character, God's will, and God's word. I've got to say that one more time. That's very important. When you pray in Jesus' name, you are asking that everything you ask for be consistent with God's character, God's will, and God's word. How many times when you pray do you think about that? In other words, you wouldn't ask the Lord to bless you if you're getting ready to lie or steal in Jesus' name. You wouldn't do that. You wouldn't say, bless adultery in Jesus' name. You wouldn't ask God to bless your sin in Jesus' name. You cannot swear in Jesus' name. You cannot ask God to bless the anger or rage you might have in your heart in Jesus' name. To make myself clear, you can utter the words in Jesus' name and then add them to any prayer you like. But if your prayer is not consistent with the character of God, with the will of God, and with the word of God, you are not praying in Jesus' name, no matter what words you use. And so instead of the the WWJD, what would Jesus do? We need to remember WWJP. What would Jesus pray? What would he pray in this situation? Perhaps, you know, we need to make some of those little bracelets or things and hang around our wrist to remember, what would Jesus pray? What would he want in this situation? Now, let's think about this in means of a practical sense. To borrow a phrase from the Puritans, what is the use to be made of praying in Jesus' name? Well, it should make our prayers be filled with praise. Instead of praying, gimme, gimme, gimme prayers, we should focus on praise and thanksgiving, because God, through Christ, has given us access to the throne room of the universe. So by grace and grace alone, we have been brought into God's presence. And if that doesn't make you grateful when you pray, then you need to go back and think about it some more. You can offer praise to God through Christ, because he's allowed you in the holiest of holies. It should drive you back to the Word of God. After all, where will we learn who Christ is? Where will you learn what Christ wants for your life if it's not in the written Word of God? Without exception, if you go back in history and study church history, the greatest prayers have been the people who knew the Word of God best, and they knew what the promises of God were. And so there's true meaning to Psalm 37:4. Delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. And how do you delight yourself in the Lord? By studying his word and his way for your life. And then this should lead you to total dependence on Christ. Total dependence on Christ. We need to have a day, we celebrate Independence Day. We need to have a dependent day, maybe every day. We are dependent on Christ. We pray in his name because our own name, it doesn't carry any weight with the Almighty. On our own, we stand before him which way? What kind of righteousness do we have when we stand before God? As filthy rags. Our righteousness is as filthy rags. But we stand before God in the presence of Christ in our lives. Then we come to him with the righteousness that Christ has given to us through the forgiveness of our sins and living in our lives. And it's good to remember that apart from God, there's nothing good in any of us to commend ourselves to God. Only in Christ do we have any merit, any standing, and that is not of ourselves. But it's the gift of God, lest anyone should boast. And it should cause us to ask, Lord, what do you want to do in this situation? Now that is a challenging prayer. What do you want to do in this situation? So often we have our list and the way we want to deliver it, the way we want to solve something, the way we want to do it. But most human situations are very confusing. And we can't be sure what the Lord wants. So here we need to go to him and ask him to give us wisdom. Like seeking a new job. or buying a new home, or making business decisions, or deciding where to go to college. These are questions we need to ask the Lord for His wisdom and advice to guide us, and pray that His will might be done. And then praying in Jesus' name should cause us to pray more for God's glory and less for our own gratification. And the Lord's Prayer is a great example of that. Remember, it's six petitions. The first three deal with the Father, His name, His kingdom, His will, and the last three deal with our needs, provision, pardon, and protection. It's never wrong to pray for our own needs, but if we follow the Lord's Prayer, we begin with God and His glory, and then we focus on our own. Again, the prayer that we've been teaching you, the transforming prayer, vision is on God, a vision of God. And finally, there is a clear gospel call that should be made. If you need to be saved, I know a name that can save you. That name that we've been talking about praying in. If you want to be forgiven, I know a name that can wash away your sins. If you want a new life, I know a name that can give you new life. If you want to go to heaven when you die, I know a name that will get you to heaven when you die. That name is the name of Jesus. You call upon His name and you will be saved. You run to the cross. You lay your sins on Him. You cry out to Him with all your heart. And He will accept you with His mercy and grace into His kingdom. And so what is the summary of all this, praying in Jesus' name? To teach us that it's far more than just three or four words. To teach us that it's not some magical condition that we can get anything we want. To teach us that we need to pray for His will to be done in our life. And to realize that it's the only name that can save us. It is a name that is above every name. One day all creation is going to bow down before that great name. And in that name we bring our request to God, knowing that whatever we ask in His name, consistent with His character, His will, and His word, He will do it for us. This is the promise of the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is how He wants us to pray. And I pray that you will do that and find the greatest joy in your prayer life that you've ever had as you develop that one-on-one relationship with Him. Our hymn of invitation today is hymn number 82. The altar is open if you would like to come. If you need prayer, if you need someone to talk to, we're all here to help you, and the altar is open for you. Hymn number 82, may we stand as we sing.